Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good night, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God, where we can explore the words of God together. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter, the 11th through the 31st verse. And the title of our lesson is, God Will Provide. As always, I open up with a song. And then we go to the throne of grace, and tonight is the first Wednesday in the month, so we're going to have our prayer list read and pray for those in need and have asked us for prayer. So at this time, I'm going to play the song, and once I come back, we're going to go straight into the Word of God. Listen to the words of the song and be blessed.
Oh,
Yeah, the title of that song was, the title of that song was In the Middle Of. The one that wrote that song was letting us know, no matter what you're going through, no matter how your life appears now, no matter what has happened, no matter what you don't have, God is in the middle of every circumstance and situation that comes your way. So like the song said, just hold on and know that he's right there. The scripture tells us that God could never leave us nor forsake us. So no matter what we're going through, that should let us know that God is right there with us. So I thought it was a beautiful song. So at this time, the first, like I said earlier, the first Wednesday in the month, we have our sister in Christ, Sister Pam, that keeps up with the prayer list of people asking for prayer. And on the first Wednesday of every month, we let her read the list, and she lists the people on the prayer list up in prayer. So at this time, I'm going to turn the mic over to Sister Pam and receive her in the way in which she comes. Sister Pam,
evening,
your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Kathy and Jim Hartman, Alex Moore, Stephen Wynn, Esther Lucas, the MacMillan family, Diane Dustin and Derek McBride, Mary Bridges, Gladys Phillips, Cedric Edwards, Lance Brown, Georgiana Prevost, the Martin family, Arthur DeLone, Sister Janice family, Tyrone Hems family, the Foxworth family, Corinth Davis, Sandra Bridges and family, Sister Diane Adams and family, Tammy Ditto, Verlene Garrett, Patrice Hernandez, Jacqueline Nicholas, Paula Anthony, Maddie Lala and family, the Oliver family, Brenda Pierre, Derek Olive, Lee Johnson and family, Whitney Merkendale and family, Alfrenette Williams and family, Christine Ward, all the people in the rehab in Houma, Louisiana, Florida Cage, Gloria Butler family. She passed away on Monday. Gloria Butler passed away, so asking prayers for her family. Rosalind Henderson, Christy Moore, Tanya Williams, the Taylor family, Emma Gauthier, Diamond, the young lady at Rouse's on Franklin, the Bartholomew family, and I'm asking a little special prayer tonight for Willie Eldridge's family. She's the great-grandmother of my granddaughter, and they're not looking for her to make it to the night. Lord, all I can say is thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you for life. Lord, I can be dead sleeping in my grave, but you saw fit to allow me to witness another Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, we thank you for this Bible study because we surely need it. Father, we thank you for our teacher and messenger, Sister Diane. Lord Jesus, please continue blessing her with the wisdom and knowledge that comes from you. Please, Jesus, keep this Bible study continue flowing with the good news. Lord, we ask for prayer for those tonight that are lost and that don't know you and are pardoned of their own sins, that they may come running asking soon, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we're living in troubling times right now. But, Father, we know that you are a loving and kind and forgiving God. God, you say you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we ask that you, for you, we thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight for your grace and for your mercy. For your grace is sufficient enough for me. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're still going to do. Lord, all these blessings we ask in your son Jesus' name. And Lord, all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you. And amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We would like to thank Sister Pam for keeping up with our prayer list. If you know anyone that needs prayer, and, you know, it is our goal that everyone pray for one another. You know, you might not remember all of the names, and you might not understand or know the need of the circumstances.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, it's a list for Wednesday night Bible study, and those people have entrusted their loved ones and themselves in our hands because they figure that we will be prayer warriors for them. So I encourage each and every one of you to include Wednesday night Bible study and Wednesday night Bible study prayer list in your prayers unto God, because prayer really changes things. And the Bible say the firm and effective prayer of the righteousness availeth much. So intercede for those names. Become an intercessor, and God will grant favor in your life. So I thank you again, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
Allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. And we're going to go into our lesson at this time. Thank you. Well, I'll say it again. Our lesson tonight is God will provide. We are coming from the book of Exodus, which is a book of the Bible in the Old Testament. And we're going to be exploring verses 11 through 31 within the 16th chapter. Everyone was asked to read the whole entire 16th chapter so you can get an idea of what is being said and why. We have to remember, when we come to Bible study, what we're really doing is trying to see God for who he really is through the Word. You guys have to realize that the Word of God is where God reveals himself to his people. So when you read the Word of God, if God said he did it for them, he could do it for you. And you could see how the hand of God worked in and through the lives of his people. And that should be, you know, be refreshing for you to know that that's the same way he could work for you. And you know that everything is not for everybody. So how God did it for, you know, in the Bible, when Jesus healed people, sometimes he had them to participate, and sometimes he just spoke. You know, one time he told a man to put the mud in on his eyes, and he began to see. One time he told a blind man, pick up his bed and walk. Sometimes he just said, you know, go your way and you'll heal. So he could do it all kind of ways, and he had the choices at his discretion. But God have your best interest at heart. Know that. So when we look at our lesson tonight, I'm coming from a background on Exodus. The first thing I want you to realize, the book of Exodus, the word Exodus means to departure or to exit out of. In God's timing, the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt marked the end of a period of oppression from Abraham's descendants until the beginning of the fulfillment of the covenant promised to Abraham that his descendants would not only live in the promised land, but would also multiply and become a great nation. You see, God made a promise to Abraham that his seeds would become a great nation. And it was very confusing to Abraham at the time, because Abraham was very old, and as the Bible says, he was past the time of having children, and his wife was, you know, equally as old. And Abraham couldn't understand, how could my seed become a nation? But God promised that. And when you look all through the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you could see how God is faithful to the promise that he made to Abraham. And that promise still holds today for the Jewish nation. But we were engrafted in as Gentiles once Jesus came and we accepted him as our Savior. The promise is for us as well. That's why when we were young and we was in vocational Bible study and things like that, they had a song we used to sing, and the song was Father Abraham had many sons and many sons had Father Abraham. We are one. And, you know, they would sing the song. The promise that God made to Abraham still is a promise for today. And I've come to tell you tonight that you're included. See, things like that, if we don't know, we can't praise God for that. You know, so that's why we study, so we could know more. And then hopefully we could do more. You see, God, what he did with Abraham, you see, Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Esau and Jacob, and whose name was changed to Israel, and his sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. See, you got to be, I'm going to tell you guys how my knowledge in studying really came forth, because I just read this here. It was a long time ago, and I was in church, and looked like every so often I went to church and a preacher would preach about the 12 tribes of Israel. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. I had no background. I had no substance in what he was saying. I didn't know. And one day it hit me. When I walked out of the church building after hearing that another time, I said, never, ever again will I come to a service and the 12 tribes of Israel is mentioned, and I don't know what it means. I was determined. You see, studying the word takes determination, and it takes commitment, and you got to really want to know. You know, you go to church on Sunday, and they give a sermon. If it sounds good or say some catching words, then you say, oh, it's good. But the word of God is where God reveals himself to us. Let us know God for who he truly is, and that's the only way we could find it is through studying and growing in grace and in the Holy Word. You see, the book of Exodus began when Genesis leaves off as God deal with his chosen people, the Jews, who became the Israelites. Another little tip thing I want to let you know, earlier I said that Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and Israel, when it became Israel, when his sons became the 12 tribes of Israel, their name was the Israelites. When you read the Bible, if you read the Bible, you'll be seeing the Canaanites, the Moabites, the Hittites. That's the name of like the maker or the leader of them. You know, the Canaanites was from Canaan, the Moabite was from Moab, you know, things like that. So, you know, you see all them names, the Jebusites, the Hittites, that's where it's from. But if you don't understand and know the history, it would just be a whole bunch of bites to you. You see, the book of Exodus traces the events from the time of Israel entering Egypt as guests of Joseph, who was powerful in Egypt. You got to know the story, y'all. You got to know why they got to Egypt and how they became slaves in Egypt, and see how the people cried out in Egypt, and then how God sent Moses to Egypt to tell a king, let my people go. It's more than a story, y'all. It's strength for you in time of trouble, because when you can see how God worked for them, then you know how he could work for you. You see, our lesson tonight is after the Jews entered the desert, which is the wilderness. They were slaves in Egypt for 430 years, and Moses was called, like I said, to go to the king to let the people go. You see, Moses had led God's people for many years. And I want to tell you this because, you know, when you think about Moses and the children of Israel walking in the desert and things like that, tonight I want to tell you, when Moses left Egypt, he had over 3 million people. So if Moses had to lead, direct, and keep 3 million people, well, really safe and fed and you know, responsible for them and teaching them things of God, that was a hard job. 3 million of them left Egypt. You see, but because the Israelites did not obey God while they was in the wilderness, God did not lead them straight into the promised land as he had promised them. You see, the trip from Egypt to the promised land would have taken the Israelites only days. But instead, because of their disobedience, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. But even in the wilderness, God provided everything they needed. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 29:5-6 that says, because where God guides, he provides. You see, provides. The very people who had been delivered out of Egypt by mighty miracles soon grumbled and mumbled about God and his lack of provisions for them. You know, sometimes they tell you you can't see the forest for the trees. You cannot sometimes see what God is doing and how God is operating in the goodness of God in your life when you stay focused on your problem, yourself, or just what's going on on around you. You see, God said none of these grumbling people will enter the promised land. You know, what happens? Sometimes your disobedience and lack of gratefulness can keep you from entering your promised land. You see, only Joshua and his friend Caleb entered in. Because, see, Joshua and Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. You see, after 40 years of wandering, an entire generation of Israelites, men over the age of 21, who were delivered from slavery, died in the wilderness. God is faithful. God is loving. God is kind. But God said he must chastise. God said if he does not chastise you, you're a bastard. That's what the Bible says. You see, Joshua and Caleb and the children who were born in the wilderness was the one that was left at the time. By this time, Moses was over 100 years old, and it is so sad that all that God had done, was doing, and has promised to do wasn't enough for some people. You know, no matter what God is doing in some people's lives, they don't give him praise. They don't give him honor. They don't give him, you know, part of their time, resources, or talents. They just do whatever they want to do. So when we get right now to get into the lesson, we have to realize that they were delivered from Egypt. First, they was in Egypt because of Joseph. They had very good lives in Egypt till a new king came along that didn't know Joseph, and they oppressed them and made them slaves, and God delivered Moses, and Moses delivered them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, and they were in the promised land going to their promised land, their new homes, and they were so disobedient on the way that their trip of a few days took 40 years. And so some of the food had ran out. They was getting real antsy. So our lesson tonight, starting in verse 11, which I'm going to read 11, verse 11 through 15, is what started happening at this time. And you saw some other things if you read the entire 16th chapter, but starting at the 11th verse, it reads as, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard mumbling of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying," now they was howling about, you know, stuff to eat. But look how God handled this. He said, "At even," that's evening time, "ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am your God." 13, "And it came to pass that evening the quails came up and covered the camp." You know, the quails just came out of the sky. They didn't have to get a shotgun and shoot them. They didn't have to get a bow and arrow. When the evening came like God said it would, the quails appeared, dropped down to the ground, and was able to be picked up by the people. And then what he did after that, "And in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing." I'm reading the script, y'all. Anybody got your Bibles, please get it. 16th chapter, and we in the 11th verse. "And they say a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost." Now, when you're seeing that, you probably didn't know what it was, because I didn't either, so I went and looked it up. They say it was a grayish white, like crystal deposits of frozen water vapor formed in clear, still weather on vegetation on the ground. But what he described it as, he said it was a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost, and that's what a hoar frost was, like something that had crystallized and fell on the ground, frost. He said in 15, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna." That's what they call it. "For they wist not what it was." That's the way the scripture read. "It is manna. For they wist not what it was." They didn't know what it was. It didn't have a name. It was something that appeared that had never been before. You see, that's the way God can do it. So they called it mammon. And the scripture reads on to say, "And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." You see, at this time, they was running out of food. And they was even bold enough to tell Moses, "Why you leave us in Egypt? We could have died in Egypt, still dying in the wilderness." You see, their lack of faith. You see, here we see the children of Israel mumbling, and it was not the first time. Their food supplies was running out, and they complained to Moses, saying, "God could have left us in Egypt, as I say, rather than to starve in the wilderness." The people spoke to Moses as their intercessor, and Moses spoke to God on their behalf. And God spoke back to Moses for the people. You see, God was actually talking to Moses. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. But in the New Testament, God lives inside of his people. And you see, we still go to Jesus as our intercessor, who goes to God on our behalf, and God grants what Jesus asks for us, and then the Holy Spirit deliver unto us. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Remember, all this complaining was after they saw the miraculous provisions made by God. You know, I hear a lot of times these days that people say, I don't see how the people in the Old Testament didn't really believe and get it together. I can't see how they didn't. But all that God has done for us now, and we still don't get it, we are no different than them. Or if I could just see a miracle, I'll change. How many miracles you have seen in your life? I know you done saw a miracle. People getting healed of cancer. People talk about they didn't have no food and something showed up. Miracles. And God has done some miraculous miracles in your life as well, if you pay attention. You see, God's sovereign and powerful hand is seen in the miracles of the plagues. You remember God did 9, I think, plagues to the people in Egypt to let the show them that he, what he was working with, and that he would let the people go. You know, he instituted the first Passover where the angel of death was going to come through, and God told him to put the blood on the doorposts, and the dead angel would pass those houses up because there was a plague to kill the firstborn of every household, you know, to kill the firstborn of every household if they wasn't covered, their doorposts wasn't covered with the blood. And you see, then it was the deliverance of the Israelites out of slavery. God then parted the Red Sea, and he destroyed the Egyptian armies that was after them. You see, once they got out of Egypt and went through the Red Sea, they got to the promised land, but they had to cross the Jordan River. And I come to tell you tonight that God also parted the Jordan River. Here we see where God guides, he also provides. Even though he gave them bread from heaven, meat from the sky, sweet water from bitter brooks, water from a rock, victory over those who destroyed them. His law, he wrote it on the tablets of stone by his own hand. God then, his presence in the form of a pillar of fire guided them by night, hallelujah, and a cloud to guide them by day. What an awesome God we serve. But you see, the people continually grumbled and rebelled against him. Here we see that what it truly means, our daily bread. And what it mean when they say bread from heaven. You see, here God was showing us how he will supply our daily needs. Yet, we still find something to complain about. This is the thing. We're going to go ahead into the next scripture, starting at verse 16. And we're going to read all the way down for the 22nd verse. Look in your Bibles. 16 start off by saying, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer. If you read the Bible, you might have didn't know what that was, but I want you to see that, I want you to know that an omer was an ancient measurement for dry goods. And an omer was 1/10 of an ephah. So now we got to look up ephah. And an ephah was a bushel. And I had to look up the size of a bushel so you could really get it. And a bushel is 35 liters. So let's read this again. The one, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded. He told every man, gather according to his eating. Get enough of how y'all going to eat. And, you know, how many is in your family? He said, an omer, which is a measurement for dry food, and it's a tenth of an ephah, and an ephah is a bushel, and a bushel is 35 liters, which for every man, he said, that's what you get. He dropped the bread from heaven. He dropped the quails. He said, but let me tell you how to do it. He said, according, and it's still in the scripture, y'all, according to the number of persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tent. Everybody in your tent, which is your household, take enough for them. 17 said, and the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more because they had more people, and some less because they had less to feed. Verse 18 said, and when they did meet with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little didn't have no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. You think that's how people do now? You're giving turkeys away for Thanksgiving, and people drive up in their car and go around the corner and take the turkey out and come back. You see in verse 19, and Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. He said, get what you need to have, but don't take over what you need, because tomorrow it's going to be supplied again. Let no man leave of it till the morning. In verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses. Moses told them. He gave them the rules. God is supplying the need. Hallelujah. He tell them what to do. But watch what they say now. But some of them left of it until the morning. They might have, that had to be a lack of their faith. God, you know, they didn't figure, you know how when you ain't got something and you got the opportunity to get something, sometimes you want a lot, so, you know, you can hope it lasts longer. So what they did, they took more than was necessary for the day. But look what happened in verse 20, in the second part, it said, and it bred worms, and it stank. The ones who took over than what was necessary, not following the rules, worms came up in it, and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them. He got angry. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. See, God had to do that to let them know. Now, you see, after that, they start doing it right. You see, and when the sun waxed hot, the mammon that was on the ground that was left melted. And if we look at verse 22, and it came to pass that on the sixth day, this is Moses giving instructions from God. He said, the sixth day, thy gather twice as much, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. So you collected for 6 days, and he's going to tell you why he's doing it this way. We're going to get into that. You see, here God is telling us how not to be greedy. Take as much as you need for you and your family, and trust me for your tomorrows. Here we see their lack of trust and greed Because if you truly trust, you won't be greedy. And if you are greedy, you could never trust. It's almost like the saying that says, winners never cheat and cheaters never win. You see, everything that is gained by greed will never last. We can see that all around us in the world. And besides that, there will be no satisfaction because a greedy person can never be full because everything they have and because of their greed is never enough. And if we look at verse 13 to our last verse, it read, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord had said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath. Bake that which you will bake today, and see that you shall see it, that which remaineth, lay over for you, and be kept to the morning. See, God was trying to get them to learn to rest. So on that sixth day, they were supposed to gather twice. And the sixth day, they had to bake the twice. And they had to take it and leave the other half for tomorrow because it would be the Sabbath and they needed to rest. And verse 24, they laid it up until the morning as Moses blade. And it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. God is a good God, y'all. Verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find any in the field. Eat that today. And verse 26 said, sixth day you shall gather it. But on the seventh, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. Don't go looking for it in a 7 day. I done told you to get enough. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the 7 day to gather, and they found none. And, you know, they probably was the ones, I ain't going to get it today. I'm going to just go get mine tomorrow. I want it fresh. I wanted this. I wanted that. Or they could have been too busy doing something else. So they didn't get their extra on the sixth day. So on the seventh day, God told them there wouldn't be none out there, but he had to make a believer out of them. So they went out on the seventh day, and they found none. And verse 28 said, and the Lord said to Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? You know, I'm sure God was sick and tired of being sick and tired of them, but God is so loving and kind. And then the other part, without it, we wouldn't make it. He's long-suffering. And see, 29, we see that the Lord had given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth-day bread of two. Abide every man in his place. Let no man go out his place on the seventh day. 30, so the people rested on the seventh. 31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof Mammon. And it was like a cardinal seed, white, and the taste of it, this always amazed me about how God did it. The taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Hallelujah. That's pretty cool, huh, y'all? And since they talked about the Sabbath in there right there, I just want to give y'all some little thing about the Sabbath. You see, if you look at Mark, the second chapter, the 27th through the 28th verse, you'll find this. And he said unto them, Jesus was teaching, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also over the flat Sabbath unto the Lord. God always requires us to rest by separating ourselves from the time of the world and the consecrated and the consecrate the things of God. God just wants us to just set back and push back a little while because he knew it would be important. But he didn't make the Sabbath. It was made for you to rest, not the Sabbath, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, and we got it all twisted. You see, in his teaching on the Sabbath, he wants us to know this, that this is one of his many blessings. See, people want to look at the Sabbath as being a curse. Oh, I got to go to work. I got to go shop. They stopped selling liquor on Sunday. They just made it out of inconvenience. But they didn't realize that it was a gift, a blessing for us to use for a time of rest to reflect. You see, the above scripture said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God had outlined how their provisions will be met on the day of rest. And just like us. You know, one of the places, Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A been around a long time. And evidently the founders of Chick-fil-A at some point read this scripture. And they decided that they would never open on a Sunday, that their employees would never have to lose time for away from fellowship. Chick-fil-A did that from its inception, and they still do it today. And when we think about oppression and things like that for people of God, you know, Chick-fil-A has been kicked out of the stadiums because they refused to open on Sunday. That's oppression, y'all. But Chick-fil-A is still holding their ground. And I'm sure God honors that. God wanted to give us time to rest. You see, the above scripture says the Sabbath was made for man. You see, they went on searching and found none. That's the people who went out looking for it on the Sabbath day after they told them get double. They didn't realize that God had provided all they had provided and all they had to do was rest. See, we haven't learned how to rest in what God has done, is doing, and promised to do. We still figure we can make something change. We feel that we can direct. We feel like we afforded the privilege to make it up any kind of way we want and then want God to come in our plan. But God designed that you would be able to rest. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, take this yoke upon you, for my way is easy and my burdens are light. Hallelujah. Just like the children of Israel, we don't know how to enter into rest. God is supplying our needs, and yet we cannot enter into rest. Because of our lack of faith, and of course, because our lack of trust. We are to trust the Lord. He has truly saved us from the power of death through his Son. Do you trust your salvation is secured? And some people don't because they don't believe that once saved is always saved. So they go around every day trying to save themselves with their works and their deeds. I can guarantee you there's no rest in that. I don't know everything and I don't know much, but I know that. You see, we ought to trust God. If you could trust him for one thing, you got to trust him for all things. See, that's the other problem. Some people trust him for this and don't trust him for that. And they could turn this over to him, but they hold on to that. But the Bible says, in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known. You got to realize that God can deliver us from anything. And where he guides us, he provides for us. But God does not allow sin to go unpunished. Just like Jesus said, I done took away your sins, but the consequences belong to you. So here tonight we see as a result, we can trust him because he's faithful and just. When God removed us from different bad situations, we should not ever think about going back. When God makes demands of us, he expects us to comply, but at the same time, he provides grace and mercy. Why? Because he knows that on and in and of ourselves, we are not able to fully obey all the time, 24/7, 365 days. He knows it. That's why he sent his son. You see, God has a master plan, and it's well planned. And in that plan, I come to tell you tonight, everything you will ever need and wherever God tells you to go, and whatever God tells you to do, just go and just do it, because God will provide. And the provisions for you to accomplish God's will is already in place. And that's our program for tonight. If anybody would like to make comments and add to it, please press the 1 button on your phone. Earlier, we didn't ask for names to be added to the prayer list, but if you have any names, you could add them now, or you know somebody on the prayer list name could come off because we could have, you know, we could realize that prayers made a difference. But that's our lesson for tonight. And I went back to the Old Testament because I come to tell you, you know, to know God, you got to visit the Old Testament. Because I said earlier, that is where God dwelt among his people. And then in the New Testament, God got us to see the Son. But when you really understand and truly trust who God really is and his intended purpose and what he said he would do in and through our lives, we could enter into rest, and we can also know the attributes of God. If he said it, you could believe it. Which you know, and all of that do is produce maturity in us because it helps us to become patient. Come on, y'all. It helps to increase our faith. So trusting God is what helps build the character, the characteristics in us of the fruit, and that's how the fruit can be seen in our lives. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But that's our lesson for tonight. Anybody would like to say anything, you can press the 1 button on your phone at this time, and I'll open the mic. I want to thank the caller that called me today with such beautiful words of encouragement. Let me know how important the program is to her. But caller, your number is 61519. Your mic is open.
Okay, good evening, sister.
Good evening.
This is Yeah, this is Brother Bernard. Every now and then I could be on and I make comments on your teachings. And, of course, I was listening to your teaching today in Exodus, and I was brought to the remembrance of what ministry is really all about. I think that we have to go back and re-explore what God's intentions is for ministry. And if we really look at the true character of God, and Jesus said it, Jesus said it like this. He says, feed the sick, clothe the naked, visit the sick and in prison. If you do that, you do it like unto me. So, you know, the job that of spirituality is to keep each other where it needs to be. And I like how you brought about, how you talked about potions and not being greedy. Hey, not being greedy. And, you know, oh, what's up, babe? And, hey, Sparkle. Yeah, all right. Not being greedy and taking just what you need. But if you look in the book of Acts in the establishment of the New Testament church, that's what they've done. They sold their goods, brought it to the feet of the apostles, and they distributed it to the people. The whole ministry of God is about us taking care of us. It's about realizing you're blessed just to have more than enough and to be able to share something with someone else means that you are beyond measure. And so I think that when we come back to the realization of what God's intention is and what God, because if you even look at the whole way tithing started, if you look at, look in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, when he tell you, you know, and when you gleam in the fields, like leave that fell to the ground in the corners for the poor and strangers that's passing through. So God always had a plan for us to look after each other. The thing is that in this new age way of service, everything is about how much materialism you can possess, how much money you can get. But, you know, and everybody's thinking about the blessed Abraham, and I'm gonna stop here so that I could go on with this. But in Genesis 12 and 2, God tell Abraham, he said, I'm gonna bless you, but the last few words say that you might be a blessing. So when we get that we should be a blessing because we are blessed, then that's where God said, I never see the righteous forsaken nor my seed beg bread. And so I medically retired at 33. I was making twice as much as the wife, but the wife was able to hold us down for over a year without me having the income. And, you know, just everything worked out. And because, you know, when you live in the Most High take care, and it's true to the Most High's words. So I say that to say, if we stop focusing on another car, another house, and all the foolishness, and we focus on the heart of God, because God says that we are made in his image and after his own likeness, and we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the image and likeness of God? Because that's who we're supposed to be. And if we can't answer that question, then we can't be who we were called to be. And Jesus said we was called to be gods on the earth. And I'm going to stop there, sister, because I could go on with this because it's a rich subject. But it's something that needs to be heard, and people need to put God back into God's perspective and look at and do the work that God done. And that was take care of his people. That's what God done. Took care of his people, and we're called to take care of the people of God. That's the mission of the new wave spirituality movement. I stopped there. I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. We welcome your comments. And really and truly, you know, it was a blessing to hear what you say, because it was, you know, really it was information that is added to the text that was said on the night when you talked about the different provisions and how, you know, when they used to have harvest time, they were ordered to just drop so much droppings on the ground that the people could come behind them and be able to eat. And when you say it, and you really backed up some of the things that were said when you said that the when you say that the people, you know, it's always, provisions is always there for people because God has a master plan. That's what you say it, because in a lesson we say that the plan is well planned. And God, you know, fixed it so, you know, and just looking at these scriptures on tonight to say how he had planned to take care of them in the wilderness in their strong disobedience. His grace and mercy was still with them.
Amen.
So I thank you, my brother, for the
Amen,
part you
sister.
Put in. And I ask people to make comments sometime because, you see, sometime the way you say that someone may have gotten it. I never confess that I know everything. I never say it. I'm the smartest tool in the shed. God has given me this platform, and he's teaching and guiding me every day, you know, to become better. But everybody, this is Wednesday night Bible study. It's our Bible study. It's not a Diane Adams Bible study. It's our Bible study where we take time and we come together on Wednesday. So everybody has a right to bring in and interject and ask questions. So remember that. So I thank you, Brother Bernard, and I always welcome your knowledge and I welcome your input. So keep calling in. And I just want everybody to know we don't always have to agree, but hopefully we could come together and walk away with agreement, and that's the way it has to be. So with that being said, if there anyone would like to say anything else, if anyone would like to lead us out in prayer, if anyone would like to add names to the sick list, if you want, you could do so at this time. Since no one pressed the button, I want to know if Sister Elyria Mackey is on the line tonight. Could you please press the one button and lead us out in prayer for tonight? Sister Elyria Mackey.
I'm here.
Sister Mackey, your mic is open.
Okay. Short version. You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'm a leaving all right here. My hands are raised because I surrender. I believe your word is true. You promised never to leave me lonely. So this is what I'm going to do. I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you, Lord. I will put my trust in you. Yes, I will, oh God. God, we just come to thank you for another Wednesday night, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for working on the behalf of those that are on the list, oh God. We thank you for working on the behalf of all the believers that are on the line, oh God. Because your word declares, with all thy getting, getting understanding. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you because you are the potter, oh God, and we are the clay. And we just asking that you would mold us and shape us into vessels that would be meet for your use. And in everything we do, we will give you the glory because you're worthy of it all, oh God. Lord, we just come thank you because we recognize that this outer man is perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day. And we know that it's renewed by your word, oh God. Because you said that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have made us heirs of God and joined heirs with Christ, and that we are grateful. We're grateful because your word declares that we are a chosen generation. We are of a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people, O God. And we just want to show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And for that, we thank you, Lord. We lift up Minister Diane unto you tonight, Lord God, asking that you would give her increase all the more. And God, we just thank you for her word that she's been bringing forth, oh God. We thank you for strengthening her body, oh God. We thank you for working on her behalf, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because you said that the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. So, God, we just praying out now for weaker vessels, oh God, because you said that we draw strength one from another. And we just thank you, Lord God. We pray for the whole household of faith, oh God. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just thank you for what you're doing on our behalf, because your word declares that if we would serve you, you would save our whole household. And we lean and depend on your word. Your promises are yea, and they are amen. And we just want to call all things done in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say amen and glory to his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son to redeem us back to you, O God. You are our Father. You are truly Abba Father, Lord God. And we bless your name this afternoon. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Ilaria. Minister Ilaria Mackey. And at this time, we're going to end the program because it's 9:37. And I thank each and every one of you for calling. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Keep lifting up our Wednesday night Bible study. And remember the people on the prayer line, on the prayer list. And if there's nothing else to say, I will like to add, please grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peace be unto you until we meet again. Glory be to his wonderful name, because he is worthy to be praised. Good night and be blessed.